Welcome to episode 47 of Forest Focus, brought to you by the USDA Forest Service Pacific Southwest Region. This is the second installment of a mini-series about amphibian conservation and determination. We're calling the mini-series For the Frogs. In each episode, we will be introduced to one native amphibian that can be found in California's national forests. These creatures are important to ecological health, and they can deepen our connections with our public lands once we get to know them. But each of these species is in a state of decline due to overlapping threats, including pathogens, introduced predators, habitat loss, drought, and wildfire. On their own, each threat is a great difficulty, but as a collective, they're quite the formidable foe for the frogs. Fortunately, there is a village of specialists devoted to conserving these species, despite the colossal challenge of the threat supergroup. The stories of their resolute conservation efforts, pursued through obstacles and setbacks, provides portraits of determination we can pocket and apply to our own personal experiences with adversity.
I had someone once ask me, why do we care? Because the species is declining and we know that we can do work here, I think it's important as stewards of the landscape that we at least try. The environmental challenges happening here are things that we can still work on and help fix. Some of them are things like climate change that at some point we may reach a point that we can only do so much, but why not do what we can to help nudge the system in the right direction to be able to adapt to future challenges.
Benny Johnson, wildlife biologist with Collins Pine Company, points to the core nature of conservation. It is about choosing hope and dedicating ourselves to trying to make ecosystems and the living things that depend on them, including ourselves, more resilient to present and future challenges. And we'll do so in this episode through a focus on the Cascades frog, a candidate species for listing under the California Environmental Species Act. Populations of this frog have been in decline for many years. The causes of decline include some of the threats we learned about in our last episode on the Sierra Nevada yellow-legged frog, which include introduced predators and the chytrid fungus. But this time, we'll focus on a collaborative effort to conserve a genetically unique population of Cascades frogs from the threat of dryness, which is the combined result of drought and degraded habitat. And that takes us into a recently restored meadow in Northern California near Lassen National Forest.
My name is Benny Johnson, and I am the wildlife biologist for Collins Pine Company. Collins Pine Company is a small private timber company. We do uneven age silviculture, so taking out trees that are oversized, that have kind of maxed out their growth, while still managing for wildlife and other critical habitat elements and leaving those important features on the landscape. This meadow where the frogs are occurring crosses boundaries, so it's owned by both Collins and Sierra Pacific Industries.
My name is Matt Reno. I am a wildlife biologist for Sierra Pacific Industries, a fourth generation private timber company. We own 2.3 million acres about within the U.S. Most fits in California, but we also have property in Oregon and Washington. The ownership is all private for the meadow. About 90% of it is owned by Sierra Pacific, and the other 10% is owned by Collins Pine. The Cascades frog population here is one of the furthest south extent populations of this species, and it's one of the lowest elevation sites of this species as well. And with all the stressors of chytrid fungus and droughts, we wondered why this population is hanging on. So with that question in mind, we started looking at fecundity movement, what habitats they are using, and also how does this relate to forestry. We want to make sure that we are managing our forests in a healthy manner, not just growing trees and harvesting trees, but also the wildlife here.
The persistence of Cascades frog in this meadow on private land was noteworthy because they have gone locally extinct in many other areas of the region south of Lassen Volcanic National Park. Since the early 2000s, they have been locally extinct or extirpated from the national park, and there are several areas of the Lassen National Forest where the frogs were present historically but are also now absent. This is part of why conserving the population in this meadow is so important. They are genetically kin to the populations that once thrived on public lands, and those few populations that remain. This means they have a good chance of being successfully reintroduced to both national park and national forest lands in the future. But that potential for reintroduction was threatened by the compounding impacts of several years of drought, which came to a crisis point a few years ago.
My name is Karen Pope, and I work with the U.S. Forest Service Pacific Southwest Research Station as an aquatic ecologist. I've been working with Cascades frogs since 2001. I worked with a fisheries biologist on the Lassen National Forest, monitoring the Cascades frog populations on the forest. And that led to a relationship with Collins Pine biologists. And the biologist at the time did a bunch of surveys on their property and found this population. It was unknown to us. And she got permission for me to start incorporating the Collins Pine properties in our surveys. When Benny came on board with Collins Pine, I became an advisor. These guys would let me know how the frogs were doing. And so when the frog population started crashing in 2021 with the drought, that's when I came back out and we started the process of getting this meadow restored. So in 21, I came out with Benny and Matt, and then I reached out to Shelley Wingo, who works with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service in the Partners Program. And Shelley came out, saw the site, and saw the restoration potential. We brought Kevin Swift of Swiftwater Design out, and he saw it and said, I can do this work. Shelley Wingo then set up a tour with pretty much every potential permit or regulatory agency that might have some sway of whether we could get the restoration done. And we gave them a tour of the desiccating meadow, and immediately they were on board with the need for restoration. Brad Henderson leads the state Cutting the Green Tape initiative, and he was out here and he went back to the office and started making calls to make things happen from the state side. And that was really important. And by October of that year, the permits were in place and restoration happened.
We will hear from Shelley Wingo with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service a bit later. But for now, we'll focus on a point Karen made. Getting folks out on the ground enabled a quick approval of all the needed permits. When it comes to restoration work that involves water sources and meadows or streams, along with a species of concern, this process often takes many months. But with the drought and the potential for this particular population of Cascades frogs becoming a source population for future reintroductions on public lands, everyone supported the rapid approval to get the restoration work done as soon as possible. And the returns have been a delight to see.
We can see a dark line that's meandering through the meadow and straight through the middle of this structure, and that was the flow path prior to the restoration. And right now we're walking in water probably 20 meters wide here, and that's due to these structures that are spreading the water.
Karen's use of the term structure might suggest something that looks clearly constructed by human hands. This is far from the case. Indeed, if we did not know we were walking in a meadow where restoration had occurred, we would not know. The structures are stones, branches, and wood from the area that were placed by human hands into the flow path of the stream. The hope is that this would slow the water flow and cause it to flood outside of the stream channel, much like a beaver dam would. That is why this restoration tool is called a beaver dam analog.
So we used a beaver-based restoration approach at a smaller scale, a frog-scale beaver-based restoration, whereby we used materials found on site, mostly conifer and old wood that we can see right here, and then stuffed underneath it. In the upper channel, they used rocks that were found nearby and some shovel work behind structures in the channel itself. And it turns out that shovel work is where the egg masses seem to be found this year. In 21, the meadow was really hot and really dry. So the frogs were all hunkering in some little ponds down here in this bottom part of the meadow where they could find some shade. So when the structures were first built in the fall of 21, we were building them dry. there just wasn't the water to backfill. So it was a leap of faith that the structures would then hold water, and they did.
By holding water, the structures, which again are rocks and woody material found on site and placed in stream channel, have allowed water to both flood throughout the meadow and stay within the meadow longer. The variety of depths and duration of water availability are both key for the Cascades frog's life stages, including egg laying and hatching, tadpoles morphing into their frog form, and frogs then finding a cavity for winter hibernation.
Cascades frogs tend to have a slow development period where it takes multiple months. They need this shallow water that's warm for development of eggs and tadpoles. And so that dance between shallow water and desiccation is real. There's a paper that calls it the climate vice. They require this shallow water, fishless water, and yet as the climate warms and dries, those types of habitats are decreasing. And so it's really important to focus on that hydroperiod. It's about the length of that shallow water into the summer dry season. And so by adding these structures that hold that water a little longer, the frogs have a chance to develop through that larval stage into a post-metamorphic frog where they can breathe air. And that's what this whole restoration is about.
The adults are queuing in on the warmer temperatures on the edge of these larger openings, these slack water areas. But then as the eggs hatch and the tadpoles emerge, they need a place to go to and feed.
But if where those tadpoles are is in an area that also dries out within a couple of months, that's not good. Here at this site, we see the frogs morphing out into froglets August, September, depending on the year. And so we need that standing water that's the right temperature and the right flow all the way through until those frogs can morph out.
Restoration has delivered, which is made evident with the sights and sounds of our visit.
There's so much water. Since the restoration, we've seen those springs recharge and literally just water bubbling up and out everywhere. The vegetation response has been amazing. The frogs are occurring in different places. There's new little hidey holes that they're using. Egg masses are being laid in new spots, so the frogs are definitely reacting to the restoration work.
I joke with Benny that since the restoration, we've made our survey effort infinitely harder. It used to be that the water was very channelized and localized within this meadow. Frogs couldn't swim very far because the stream was only 2 feet wide. Since restoration, we have pools that are 30 feet wide. We have pools that are 2 feet deep. So in that sense, it's made our job of researching these frogs more difficult. But from an ecological standpoint, that is a good thing because that means that they've got better cover. If they can evade us as researchers, they're probably doing a better job evading predators as well.
While the frogs are doing well here, what is their status on nearby public lands? As mentioned earlier, they became locally extinct on the Lassen Volcanic National Park in the early 2000s. But let's hear about what their status is on the Lassen National Forest.
So I'm Tyler Woolard. I'm a wildlife biologist on the Almanor District of Lassen National Forest. Cascades frog is considered a Forest Service Region 5 sensitive species. So that means we have an obligation to provide the habitat that that species needs to persist on our national forest lands. And that's a lot of the impetus for doing this type of meadow restoration work. On the district that I work on, we have a decent-sized population, but we also have several sites where the frogs have been found previously but are no longer there. So those are the sites that I'm really interested in working with Matt and Benny, learning from their restoration efforts so that we can manage that habitat and get that species back in there.
Before we talk a bit more about the frogs in this meadow and how the lessons learned from this restoration effort might help to increase and conserve Cascades frog populations on public lands, we first meet a close-up meet and greet of one of these fine fellows.
This is a Cascades frog. Males have Popeye arms. Basically, they are very muscular. They have broad shoulders going down to a narrow waist down by their back legs, whereas the females will be more plump.
The restoration of this one meadow has a positive ripple effect with two key avenues. First, the case study of this restoration can inform the restoration of other meadows.
Something very important on my mind is the publication aspect, where we can get that information out. So much of my job relies on the best available science, and a lot of times that best available science isn't available. So having this much information specific to this site is really beneficial. And so getting out that information to Forest Service, to other private landowners, to industrial landowners, to be able to just understand how these frogs are utilizing the meadow, how they're responding to restoration, the movements, that's really important.
Amphibians that are associated with these higher elevation areas serve as really good indicator species for the condition of the meadow. The presence or absence and the health of a frog population is giving you way more information than a visual assessment. So from the Forest Service perspective, if we're seeing a population take a dive, that's an indication to us that something's going on and we need to see if we can mitigate that. So we're really interested in using what Matt and Benny find out through this research and restoration project to inform what we're doing in those meadow sites that we want to restore on the Lassen National Forest.
The second avenue for the positive ripple effect from this restoration is the potential for this population of Cascades frogs to become a source population for reintroduction in the Lassen Volcanic National Park and Lassen National Forest.
One of my first goals with this project was, if this is one of the few remaining populations south of Lassen Park, let's use it as a source population for reintroductions.
We are really looking forward to the opportunity to maybe use these frogs as a source population to bolster the populations that we have on Lassen National Forest.
To round out our time with Cascades frogs, we leave the meadow and head back down the hill to meet with another key player in this restoration collaborative, who was mentioned a bit earlier.
My name is Shelley Wingo, and I work with the Partners for Fish and Wildlife program of the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And we target mountain meadow habitats for restoration specifically because they're biodiversity hotspots.
As she revisits her recollections of how this project unfolded and the lessons learned, Shelley ushers us into deeper understanding of how the approach to this meadow restoration could benefit meadows and amphibian populations elsewhere.
Karen Pope contacted me and mentioned that there was potentially one of the largest populations of Cascades frog in California being threatened by drought. And she asked me to see if there were some restoration measures that might be able to protect and increase and retain water on that meadow so that the population would not be lost. So we worked with the landowners, both of their wildlife biologists, and we met out on the site with Karen Pope, and we all together worked on devising a restoration design that would potentially improve water retention on the meadow. And timing was a concern. It was late summer, the third year of drought, and there was a potential that if we didn't do something right away, that we might lose the population. So I organized all of the agencies that we thought that we would be requiring permits from and organized a tour out onto the site and let them know the brevity of the situation, that the population could potentially be lost, and asked them if they could work together as well as working with us to get the project permitted as soon as possible. Fortunately, they had representatives that all came out and were present. We had the Regional Water Quality Control Board, California Department of Fish and Wildlife. We had the Cutting the Green Tape representative. The wildlife biologists were present from Sierra Pacific Industries and also from Collins Point. And then we had the contractor present as well as Karen Pope from the U.S. Forest Service Pacific Southwest Research Station. They all talked among themselves while we were out there. And when we left the site that day, we had a plan for getting the project permitted in short order. It ended up being just within 2 weeks. I highly encourage people to use that format in getting agencies out on the project site and working together collaboratively as much as you can.
And if we are tempted to think that the meadow restoration is just for the frogs, Shelley broadens our thinking.
There are so many good reasons to restore mountain meadows, even if we are putting aside biodiversity of a wildlife habitat species. The meadows act as a sponge. They absorb the rainwater and the precipitation. They hold it and they attenuate flows slowly and seasonally. They are carbon sinks. So we've been able to recognize, even just recently with big wildfires going through, that if we can restore the wetted part of the meadow, they remain wet and they become refugia for wildlife habitat. They also can be defensible space to try to stop a wildfire. So there are a lot of practical reasons for restoring the hydrology in mountain meadows, and those are just a few that come to the top of my head.
It is clear that meadow restoration has many benefits, and the story of this particular meadow restoration to conserve Cascades frogs provides us with something additional. Guidance on how we can focus on possible action when we face an impossible task. The impossible in this case was reversing drought. Warming temperatures and insufficient precipitation were drying out an already too dry meadow. Without rewetting this habitat, the Cascades frogs were unlikely to survive. But our changing climate is an immense challenge and not something we can influence overnight. But the specialists came together to envision what possible steps they could take for the frogs. Knowing that they could not bring snow or rain, they looked for other ways they could make more of the meadow wet and to keep it wet longer. And the solution came through a small but not insignificant action that had sizable impact. By showing permitting agencies during field visits how we can mimic the dam-building behaviors of beavers through low-cost nature-based solutions to restore mountain meadows, the permitting agency's process was streamlined and water was returned to the landscape quickly in the face of ongoing drought. Taking lessons from beavers, natural material was placed into the stream, which slowed the flow and caused beneficial flooding. This gave the frogs the water they needed to make it through the worst of the drought. And the benefits of this go beyond the frogs. By slowing the flow of runoff of water, water stays on the landscape longer, which increases water filtration and improves water quality. This also improves groundwater recharge, which allows for water to be released downstream later into the summer. And this provides benefits to agricultural communities, along with all wildlife on the landscape, including California's beloved steelhead and salmon. Sometimes nature offers us the simplest solution. All we need to do is pause to observe and then to help natural processes return to the landscape. And for some frog philosophy to take home, let's consider this. Many challenges in our world and in our personal lives feel like a drought, immense and impossible to reverse. But perhaps in such moments, we can remember the Cascades frogs and focus our resources and attention on small possible actions that might have sizable impact. Like Benny said at the start of our visit, trying is the thing. It is a determination to try that can keep us moving in hard seasons of life and within the long game of conservation. Thanks for listening. For those who are curious to learn more, go over to the show description page and click on the links. To find more episodes, search Forest Focus Podcast wherever you get your podcasts. And if you have questions or suggestions for the show, email us at sm.fs.r5ffpodcast@usda.gov. Until next time, enjoy your public lands. Please remember to recreate responsibly, know before you go, and learn what you can do to prevent wildfires. Take care. This podcast is sponsored by the U.S. Department of Agriculture Forest Service, and the USDA is an equal opportunity provider, employer, and lender.